Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
On WGR.
Welcome back. Mike Shope and the Bulldog, Sal Capaccio on the West Her Hotline. Sal, what are you up to today?
I have had so many different radio spots over the last 24 hours, really all week, with stations around the country, local, national. It's crazy, and I'm not complaining. In a way, I might be bragging, actually, to be quite honest with you, but I'm just letting you know. Like, that's what I've been doing. I talked with the guys in Rochester at 320, and then Wichita, ESPN Wichita at 345. On here with you. I did something in the Missouri Sports Network today. I did Sirius XM this morning. Crazy.
I also have my most ever. It's two. It's not as many as yours, but today I have Kansas City and Baltimore. So yep. Two for me in a day is definitely, that's probably at least ties the record. Mm. Yeah, they apparently the Bills are good. It's really not about us so much. At least I would say that.
Look at yours, guys.
Your old boss's station reached out to me. I don't call. He hired me. Andy Roth hired me, then went to Cleveland before I got to Buffalo, but they reached out. I'll be on in Cleveland tonight, too.
Wow.
Well, tell everybody we say hi.
Yeah, I will.
Yeah. You'd think these were sports books, the way they're calling all of us.
I know, right? Yeah, you're right about that, man.
All right, Sal. So one day closer. Joe Ostrowski from BetQL on with us a short time ago. What do you like for player props? Singletary. He was quick with his answer. Singletary. So we're looking at like 59.5 yards, decent odds among the favorites to score a touchdown. How important, it's interesting, right, to ask this, like how important is the running back to their chances?
I think it has to be really important in this game. When they played a year ago, the Bills really had no running threat to speak of other than Josh Allen, and that allowed that Chiefs defense to kind of pin their ears back, and Chris Jones really kind of took over the game. You can't let that happen, and the way to not let that happen is they have to respect the fact that you can turn around and hand the ball off, or in Josh Allen's case, maybe hand it off in front of him, you know, if you're running an RPO or something like that. And you look at the numbers, guys, the Chiefs just have not stopped the run very well this year. You go back a couple weeks ago, Melvin Gordon ran all over them, and then Drew Lock did as well in the same game, right? I mean, I think it's vitally important, and this is not – I'm not saying old-school football and, you know, hand the ball off 40 times at all, but absolutely, I think – I heard what Joe said. I agree with him. Now, I think it might depend on volume, but I expect the Bills to be able to run the ball efficiently in this game.
Yeah, I mean, I think, Sal, it's never been to me, for me personally, like a problem if the Bills wanted to get better at running the ball. I think we just wanted to make sure, I wanted to make sure for myself that they weren't going to become a team that relied on it because the passing game is so good. But, man, to me, it's always been like almost undeniably true that if you get better at running the ball, this team might be really, really hard to handle.
Agreed, 100%. And you know, if you can do that with Devin Singletary, it opens up Josh Allen. It opens up Isaiah McKenzie to be able to do some things. And then, of course, it opens up the passing game as well. So coaches always talk about balance. I think sometimes it's interpreted too much as 50-50 run pass or something like that. I think what most coaches want truly is the ability to do multiple things so well that the defense never truly knows what's coming and can't just focus on one thing. You never want to be one-dimensional. The goal as a defense is to make an offense one-dimensional. That's always the goal. And I think when they say balance, that's what we're talking about here is, yep, if you can run the ball really well, then even having the threat, as Sean McDermott said a couple weeks ago, and you guys have pointed that out, I know that, that's really what it comes down to, and it makes everything go that much smoother for you.
Well, on offense, Cole Beasley's numbers have come down. I mean, we wondered about what role Isaiah McKenzie would have last week. He was excellent in the game in Foxborough. And has he moved past Beasley, or is that not even the way to look at it? You know, each game being different, it's the playoffs now. I would expect Beasley to be on the field and active for this game. But flat out, like, is he behind McKenzie if that matters?
I don't know if it matters anymore. I think they both bring so much to the table that you can use. I still think, you know, Cole Beasley has a really important role for this team, especially if teams just want to zone you up. You know, Cole can just find those spots. And by the way, the Chiefs starting nickel corner, Rashad Fenton, did not practice again today. So that could be a real interesting spot this weekend, that particular spot, that slot receiver, nickel corner, without him playing. If they're dipping into a secondary that's already really not all that great necessarily, I think Cole Beasley could become a major factor here where, hey, if he can just get to the sticks and turn around, like that becomes a problem for Kansas City. And, you know, Isaiah McKenzie with all the different things he does. And I think Isaiah is really an X factor of, hey, if he's on the field, they can't really know exactly what's coming. He can go lateral and run. You could put him in the backfield. He can go vertical and run, you know, how you want to play him. But I don't think you should discount Cole Beasley here. And I would not be surprised if after this game we are talking about, boy, Cole Beasley had a really nice day. He caught 8 passes for, you know, 70-something yards and a touchdown. I would not be shocked by that at all.
How do you anticipate the Chiefs playing the Bills in the secondary, Sal? Like, have they been a team that I know last year in this matchup, in the AFC title game, their physicality was a big deal, and the lack of calls was a big deal. You know, because they sort of manhandled the Bills receivers to an extent, and the officiating crew had a reputation for sort of looking the other way on that, and that's what happened, and it was tough. Not to say that that's why the Bills got blown out in the game, mm-hmm. but it was a factor. What do we think? I mean, I feel like when we talk about the Chiefs defense, when I talk about the Chiefs defense, all I do is talk about Chris Jones being there when he wasn't there in October when these two teams played. And, obviously, how they plan to cover Diggs, what they plan to do, zone, man, two high safeties, all that. Like, do we have a good feel for that at this point?
Well, they've played, according to people I've talked to in Kansas City on the radio this week, they've been playing a little bit more man-to-man this year as the season's gone on and gotten a little bit more physical and doing those things. So I wouldn't be surprised if they kind of go back to that game plan. But you know the double-edged sword here is you do that, you're opening up Josh Allen's ability to run as well. You know, if guys are going to turn around and have their back to him and he's going to take off. So I wouldn't be surprised if they test that, though, Bulldog. I think going into the game, I wouldn't be surprised if early on they try that physicality. You do have John Hussey and not all of his crew, 5 of the 8 officiating this game are from his crew. It is a mixed crew, but John Hussey's crew is doing this game, and they actually do have a reputation for not calling that as much. So that could be an indication that they're going to try and be a little more physical. They're going to try and be a little more grabby. I wouldn't be surprised if that happens, but I think for the Bills, they got to get them out of that. If that's the case, then here comes Josh Allen at you. Let's see. Now you need to back up and play a little more soft and play some zone. My prediction is they probably open up the game and try a little bit of that.
Sal Capaccio on the West Her Hotline. Bills and Chiefs in the divisional round Sunday night at 6:30 on WGR. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. Just also on the Beasley McKenzie topic, they were on the field for about as often as each other last week. 19 snaps to 17 for McKenzie. I mean, the Bills had such an efficient game. The snap totals kind of sound low at a lot of places. Excuse me, but McKenzie 6 touches and Beasley 1. Is sort of the reason for pointing that out. So, you know, like maybe I asked you this yesterday. Apologies if I did. It's mm-hmm. It's this game. I mean, we're talking about it constantly. That's my excuse. Just like the Bills winning there in October has a lot of value to me looking at this game because just, you know, maybe it can be wrong to do this, but without that, you don't have can they win there? You know, they look like they should match up well, but can they execute and beat them? I mean, that was a big enough game. That was an important game to the Bills. And they were just great that night. So I think it takes a lot of the anxiety away to remember that and to think that it wasn't that long ago that they went there and won decisively. Maybe the Chiefs are better now. They've certainly played better post that game. But still, like it just, I think it takes some of the anxiety off of thinking about how this is going to go.
I agree with you a lot, Mike. I think that, you know, athletes often talk about envisioning themselves doing something, you know, and they don't have to. They can think right to the live event that happened. They didn't have to envision it. They did it. They went there last year or this year, and they won that game. And we all know what was written about after that game, how the Bills really geared up. They had a specific game plan that they kind of unleashed in that particular game. They put a lot of thought into that. But now they know. They can go there and they can win. They've played good football on the road. They've scored points on the road. They've gone to places like Kansas City, Tennessee the following week. Yes, they lost the game. They scored over 30 points in that game. They go to New Orleans on Thanksgiving night. They've been in these hostile environments on the road where it's noisy. They've scored points. They've done that. They've gone to Kansas City. They've won. I think it's super interesting that I heard, like, Ryan Bates, I heard a clip of him this week talking. I think it was on One Bills Live, where he said something like, yeah, we're going to go there and punch him in the mouth. And I'm like, wow, like, I never hear the Bills talk like this. It's almost like bulletin board material, right? And then I heard Deion Dawkins on our Zoom call a little bit earlier, and he's talking about that someone, as soon as Melvin Ingram's name was mentioned, Deion literally interrupted the question and said, that was week one, and I look forward to seeing him. I'm like, oh, my gosh, like, I don't ever hear this team talk like that. Right. And you know what else? If you guys remember, week five they went there, and I said to you guys on the radio something that really stood out to me when I joined you the next day or on following that. The Bills just, they were super physical that night, and yep, they hit everything that moved. And I think they think that's the path to victory again, judging by that and what I'm hearing from these guys, which is we're going to be physical with them and they're not going to be able to handle us.
Yeah, I think Dawkins, I mean, it was a very tough day, but week one, I wonder if he meant by that, like, I was not who I really am in week one, right? That's yep, what we're to take from that, yeah.
I think that's
entirely reasonable to say. You know, I mean, I know there's bulletin board and you know, toughness and sending messages and all that, but for real, I think legitimately Dawkins was compromised early in the season. No, almost no question about it.
Yeah, he is playing now like a Pro Bowl left tackle. He is anchoring an offensive line that has not allowed a sack at its quarterback in 4 weeks. There's viral videos of him pushing Matthew Judon to the ground and then going and destroying J.C. Jackson on the back end of the same play. You know, he's playing really good football right now. I think he's playing the best football of his season. Maybe not of his career. I don't know. It's tough to judge. But he's certainly in good form right now. I think the way the offensive line is set up, the communication piece. You know, Ryan Bates, people talk about Ryan Bates and how he was this key component, and he is. And one thing to remember, a big reason for that is – this is a guy who knows all five positions. He knows exactly what everyone is supposed to do because he has played all five positions. The communication piece by having Ryan Bates in there to know what the guy on the right is doing, the guy on the left is doing, and everybody working in sync is very, very valuable.
With Sal Capaccio. So on the other side of things, I mean, I in this Kansas City interview today, which, by the way, I did make the bet. You know, what am I going to say to those guys, right?
Like they say they want to make a bet. What are you gonna turtle? Yes. Like, oh, I think that's lame. Yeah, I mean, I feel you. I mean, it's easy for me to poke fun. I'm not the one being called by Kansas City.
So they it will be barbecue, by the way. I just like, fine. It's good. Barbecue is good.
Yeah.
So they're like, what are the Bills going to do about Kelce and Hill? Like last year's game, of course. And I don't know how to answer that. Do the Bills know how to answer that? I don't know how to answer that. I said, tell me how I did, Sal. Like, Poyer and Hyde are excellent. They played that night. They are excellent. Milano, these are guys you'd want in this situation. I mentioned Taron Johnson. Like, even without Trey White, the Bills have a very good secondary. Jackson, too. Like, they're nice there. So, you know, they put up huge games. I mean, that game Kelce had last year was just massive. So that could happen again. But I don't know. What can or should the Bills do specifically if you think you know about him or them?
So, as we all know, traditionally for many years, the Bills just had a lot of hard time handling really good tight ends, right? Whoever that was, it just was always a talking point. They haven't handled tight ends. And even last year, go back, they didn't do a great job. And then that game, Travis Kelce ate them up. And I think in that game, they ran a lot of zone defense. Chiefs just basically had Travis Kelce go and turn around and catch a ball, and then he's tough to tackle. You know, I think Matt Milano took a lot of flack for that game because he was in that spot sometimes, but I don't think it necessarily was on him. I think it was just the way that they were kind of running their zone defense. So this year's been different. And I think this year what you've seen a little bit more is the safeties, especially Jordan Poyer. On the Bills have kind of gone away from using their linebackers on those guys, and they can now flow a little bit more, go against the run, and using their safeties, and Jordan Poyer specifically a little bit more on tight ends. You remember, I think you guys brought it up a little bit maybe earlier this week. It was either you or Howard or Jeremy. Towards the end of that game, there was a time where it looked like I don't know if Jordan Poyer actually hit Kelce, but he was about to light him up. Like, he was right there with him.
Oh, he hit him.
Yeah, he did hit him. Okay, thank you. Yeah. He did hit him. That's right. And thankfully, you know, Kelce was okay. Nothing happened from it. But there was a bit of a talking point about that. You know, I think that's one way. But it's not that he's one-on-one. I think what the Bills are doing and what they've done this year successfully, if you go to – actually, if you look at, like, some of the fantasy numbers, the Bills are one of the top teams in the league at defending tight ends this year. They just have not had really big days. Look at Jonnu Smith and Hunter Henry. I know they weren't really involved in the Patriots offense a lot anyway, but the Bills just shut them down. They did nothing against the Bills in the games that they played. I think what they're doing is, and I wouldn't be surprised if this happens again, is – but it's tricky against the Chiefs because they're different and they have so much speed. It's not a one-on-one thing. It's, though, if once you see that tight end coming out, I think the Bills are just adding an extra guy there. And I think it's Jordan Poyer oftentimes who he comes up and he says, look, if he's going to catch it, you're going to have an extra guy here for me to tackle, or you can try to fit the ball in because I'm going to be in that spot when it gets there. That leaves Micah Hyde alone on the back end. But as we saw on Saturday night, there ain't nothing wrong with Micah Hyde being alone on the back end, right? So if you want to do that, I think the danger there is that happens, somebody gets loose over the top because they have the speed because there's one less guy. But I think that's how they've defended it, and I think that's probably what you'll see this week.
Do you,
as far as the – oh, go ahead.
Can I stay on tight end for a minute?
Yeah.
Did you have a takeaway from how they did versus Gronkowski? 5 for 62. And I ask that because, like, in fantasy, I do hear that sort of – that category come up a lot, a team versus tight ends.
Yeah.
And I always have the same thought, which is, who did they play? And the Bills didn't really play – they played Kelce, but if you go down from there, like Waller and Andrews and Kittle, and, you know, they played Pitts and he had a big one, then he got hurt. Doesn't play tight end really anyway, like Gesicki. So your point is strong. It's just they didn't play a lot of the better ones. Gronkowski, however, you know, 5 for 62. Do you remember how you saw that?
I don't remember, other than the fact that in the second half they were just so much better at everything that they did. I don't remember exactly. I'm looking right now. So here it is. In the second half, I just pulled it up. In the second half of that game, 3 targets for Gronkowski, 0 catches. I think they made an adjustment on there. I don't remember exactly what they did. If you remember, Godwin kind of ate them up in the first half, mm-hmm. too. The Bills were just so much better. Might have been just getting more pressure, to be honest with you. Maybe that's what the key is here. You get a little bit more pressure. You have to force Mahomes to do something instead of saying, I'm going to wait for that guy to get open. But it's a good point, Mike. Of course, it's always about who you play. I think that's also baked into, you know, the Bills having such a great defense. I don't want to take anything away from them. They are a really, really great defense. But they also did face some quarterbacks that weren't on the level this year, you know?
Yeah,
and that obviously helps you in those particular numbers.
Sacks is another one like this.
Right.
Yep.
Pass rush, of course, Sal. Pressure on the quarterback, pressure on Mahomes specifically last year ends. In comes Rousseau. In comes Boogie Basham. In comes Efe Obada. I don't know if there's more to the list here, but those are maybe the three big ones. And especially Rousseau and Obada, long arms, tall, big, like just long guys. And you saw, we talked about it in the run-up to the game in October between the Chiefs and Bills. I know I made a point of bringing it up that a part of that isn't necessarily get to him, but take away his lanes and disrupt him. And Rousseau got a pick doing that in the meeting in October. So I want to stop short of just assuming they'll have the same thing in mind, but it seems like a pretty good place to start.
I agree with you. And I'll even go so far as to say, I don't know if it's necessarily if you're coaching the Bills defensive ends this week, you may coach them to not necessarily just go. It might be get there, be in front of him, use your wingspan because he likes to throw from different angles and things like that. Like if you give him a lane, he's going to have a lane to throw to, or he could take off. And by the way, he's done that a few times on some third down situations. It may be this is really more about contain. If we're not, you know, of course you want to put pressure on him. You don't want to give him all day, but if you make him be a little bit more accurate on the shorter passes instead of giving him an ability to go off script and get out and then throw the ball and find somebody, which he did a couple of times. I think that might be it. Yeah, I mean, Bulldog, how many times did we sit here in January, February, and March and talk about how this team is building a team to combat the Kansas City Chiefs? And that's exactly those names you brought up. This is it. They built this team to beat the Kansas City Chiefs. That's why those guys are here. So this is it. You did this, and now you have that chance, and now you got to prove that all the moves you made to do this were the right ones.
There's every reason to like them. the first meeting, the experience of last year, I suppose you could say, the injury report, the form they're in. Like, there's just every reason to like them. There are reasons to like Kansas City. I don't know if there are as many or if there's like such a clean list, but there's every reason to like them. I did feel very good about them last year going there, and it did not work out. But hey, to that last point too, the Chiefs running the ball is also like sort of is the pivot. It's just funny. You have two great quarterbacks, two teams where you'd want to always put them, you sort of tempt them to run the ball, I think. But yeah, that could end up being the optimal strategy for each team with teams, you know, that's how it goes in football, with teams trying to, you know, take them out of their strengths. So,
well, we'll see what the Chiefs do in their run game. Darrell Williams didn't practice again with his toe injury. Clyde Edwards-Helaire was at practice today. He did practice, I believe, in full. We'll get the exact designation. He did practice. I do wonder, though, how effective he could be. I mean, with that shoulder injury, he's missed a lot of games. He's just coming back now. We'll see. But I think McKinnon's the guy here who you think, okay, he was kind of the X factor. But the good thing for the Bills, they saw him last week. They saw how they could use him. There's film on this now. If he's going to be the guy, like, how do they employ him? I think that was a benefit for the Bills to see that against the Pittsburgh Steelers. The other thing they do a lot, and I think they're going to try to do, is screen passes. They'll probably throw screens. You know, Patrick Mahomes, I was going through these numbers with Joe a little bit earlier today. Patrick Mahomes, actually, his average, like, depth of target, meaning from the line of scrimmage to where the ball is targeted and thrown to, he's like bottom third in the NFL. But he's number two in the NFL in yards after catch from his receivers. Because they get the ball in their hands and they let him go. And a lot of that screen passes right off the line to Tyreek Hill, that kind of thing. The Bills have to tackle well this week.
Sal, got to go. Thanks for your time. Talk to you tomorrow.
All right, buddy. Thanks.
That is Sal Capaccio on our Western Hotline. His appearances are always brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.